This week on RSBNB Update, it's a patch week, including changes to the Motherlode Maw, Action Bar, and inspection of farming seeds. We also separate out controversy from fact with regard to the Majorod Aura and take a look at the Slayer and Agility components of the Land Out of Time. This is RSBNB Update, episode 729, recorded Thursday, June 20th, 2019. Fun for the whole family. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update. Tanis and myself in, as per usual this week. Welcome back.
Thank you, Shane.
You know, is this week the quiet week we've been longing for a while now?
You know, it was, right? I think the updates left me sitting here Monday evening going, what was our update? And I was like reading, I'm like, because it was like, where's the update?
Yeah.
It's got to be here somewhere. Yeah. But you know, and that's fine. It's okay to have those kind of the weeks. The high moment for me was like later on, like when we got the video for the next video for the Land Out of Time.
Yeah, another and email live video stream on that.
Yeah, so that was kind of like the highlight, and that made me feel like something was going on, you know, and I was back into the week.
I hope we're going the right direction on the Land Out of Time, and I hope it's not going to wind up being another Menaphos.
I don't know, man. I'm a sucker for some hype, and I've been real aware of it this time, and trying to be very reasonable with my expectations. But I'm eagerly anticipating it at this point. Yeah. I really enjoyed that last video.
All right. Well, let's go into this week's updates. And in particular, the patches that they chose to headline with were Motherlode Maw Enhancers. And I don't know. Do you do the Maw? I mean, I don't have 115 divination. Or, sorry, Dungeoneering. So I can't.
Yeah. When I am trying to be good and do my just daily stuff, I always do the Maw. Like, if I can get myself to do my Crystal Sandstone, regular sandstone, and do all those, you know, your shop runs. If I'm doing all of that, then I try to always do them all. And it's really easy because there's another crystal sandstone down there, so you kind of run right by it. But I forget, and then sometimes it might be months before I remember to go do it again.
All right. So what happened with this is that the enhancers that you get are no longer actual items, and they're just going to be, I guess they called it as variables on your characters that are going to be passive effects that can be toggled on and off. And to do this, you talk with Wythian in the Melior area, a Prif, of course, outside of the Maw, and he'll tell you how much charge remains on your enhancers. You can just pick and choose which ones are toggled on and off. And each time you would gain an enhancer, you'll be gaining charges on the previous passive enhancers that you had. And there was also this, that existing enhancers would be removed from your bank and inventory, leaving you with up to 16 extra bank slots. And the caveat was made that enhancers from Bounty Hunter Slayer and Elite Dungeon Reward Shops must still be held in your inventory.
See, I thought I saw something in this update. Tell me if you agree with me
all
here.
Right.
But notice that, like, so you're getting extra 16 spots of bank space, right?
Correct.
And we've seen that as a trend leading up to what we hope is going to be really nice, you know, bank rework, right?
Yeah.
But they did the same thing with something that could be coming, next week or the week after, with the comp cape. I don't know what we want to call it, the update, I guess. Rework, I guess, where they're putting these on the player now. So I noticed that connection between, you know, what they're rolling out now and what we're looking forward to. Like, do you think these are like trial balloons, maybe, or
I think it's a trend that we've seen in other updates as well. You know, just moving things to being effectively virtual rather than having set tokens. You know, I think the first big one that we had with this was the Aura rework, which was initially going to be an Aura bag, but effectively now has just become a way of accessing token Auras. You don't even need to have those in your bank. And you look at this one, an extra 16 bank slots. And, you know, the reason for this, and, you know, you have to look at this from the physical storage perspective, I have to say on this, because we've heard them say before that the issue they are running up against with giving more bank space out is that there's so many member accounts and there's so many accounts that adding more bank space becomes an issue of actual space on the servers where the items are stored. So unless you are looking at a massive upgrading project of upgrading the JAGEX servers that host the banks and whatnot, they're going to run into a point in the near future probably where they're not going to be able to give out as much bank space as they would like to. And this is something that you need to devise an internal strategy from the people who take care of the servers, to the engine team, to the people who want to actually create the updates themselves at JAGEX. So you have this effectively triangle running from the very low-level people who manage the actual hardware all the way up to the content developers. And throughout that entire triangle, you need to have a constant idea in your mind that, hey, we need to look for ways to conserve bank space so that our players aren't using bank space when they don't have to, and that every bank space that we give out in the future, we need to make sure that when we give that bank space out, we're giving it out for a very good reason. And updates like the Maw Enhancers actually help with that, because 16 extra bank slots, that's quite a bit.
Yeah. And we've been seeing that more and more.
And, you know, I think this is a good two-pronged update, because this is an update that players like, because, you know, I don't know anybody who likes fumbling through the bank to put on an item for an enhancer that would go in the pocket slot or whatever, right?
I've never used one, man.
Okay.
I've never used one. And I picked them up. I mean, whenever I would remember to go to the mall, I'd always pick them up, mainly in case I got help for Livid, because right. That's what I was looking for. Yeah.
But, you know, lo and behold, at the end of the day, it's a two-pronged update. It helps internally with storage, and it also helps the players in terms of making sure that they have a more convenient way to access these things rather than sorting through a bank. And this is, in my view, what the bank rework is on a meta level, in addition to, of course, placeholders.
So. All right. So, small, but fierce.
Yeah, and, you know, what you could do, and what I'm a bit shocked that they aren't doing with this, is they could have held this Maw Enhancer update off and brought it in as part of the bank rework. But, you know, we've been in situations before where updates have been held back for no reason, and, you know, if the players can have them, why not, right?
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah.
All right. The next changes that came forward with this were changes to the action bar. With this, in particular, how certain items function when you put them on the action bar. So items here include, of course, the crystal teleport seed, the enchanted lyre, and certain items of jewelry will now actually be able to teleport the player when used from the action bar. And recall that in the past, what people had wanted is they would have wanted a customized option, so you would have been able to customize exactly what option would happen on the action bar. But it was deemed that I think it was something engine related that they weren't able to do that, so they just effectively are putting in what we call in the programming world sane defaults, in that you choose the default action for the action bar when you put an item on it that's going to be of most benefit to the most people. So that's what these teleport ones are all about.
Okay.
And
see,
I really like the crystal teleport seed one, because this just goes right smack dab in the farming action bar, and, you know, you couldn't do this before.
Well, I feel like when they make changes like this, it helps to make, I mean, it helps to make it a real action bar. I mean, because it's, you know, I mean, it's like, it's a combat bar, right? You know, use it for skilling very much. So every change like this were, you know, maybe you could be using keybinds for skilling like that. I think it's great.
Also, just going back to the mod for a minute, there was a hotfix that came out that newly converted mod enhancers from the first login after the update on Monday will no longer be missing a charge. So if you were if you converted a bunch of mod enhancers, they would be missing a charge. And for players that were affected by the bug prior to the hotfix, you lost a charge on your enhancers. That was a hot fixed at 3:18 game time on Monday. Next up, if you're crafty enough to own a scrimshaw, they can now be activated and deactivated on the action bar.
That's nice too. I guess, I mean, well, and that one can go either way. That can go either for skilling or combat.
Yeah,
so that's cool.
And when you place objects onto the action bar, their icons will now refresh correctly. We're going to go into the patch notes in just a moment, but before I do that, I just want to take this time here to highlight the new merchandise that's actually on the, official RS merchandise store.
I bet I know what you're talking about.
Do you, what is it?
The map?
Yeah, the mouse map. Mouse map with a map on it.
Oh, it is a mouse map? See, I
The problem I have is that my desk areas are really small, and I still insist on using a keyboard tray for perfect ergonomics and whatnot, right? I don't normally put my keyboard up on the desk because it's just, that's just not how my chair works, and that's not how my monitors are set up to be optimal. So in some ways, desk mats for me don't really make that much sense. So it's nice to actually see the return of mouse pads in here. So you can actually get a mouse pad that has the map of Gilanor on here. I might pick this up, but there was some talk in Clan Quest. One of our Clan Quest people ordered this last week, and he got it delivered to him, and apparently the size he got was not the size that was actually listed on the mouse mat. So there might be some discrepancy on that. So just wait for clarification before purchasing if size is going to be an issue. So I just wanted to highlight that. But there are some actual other new items. These came out on Friday after we recorded the show. There's a Fire Cape key ring. There's also a trimmed Achievement Diary key ring, a trimmed Quest Cape key ring, so the Master Quest Cape. Ancient Staff with Ice Barrage pin badge, and Ancient Staff with Blood Barrage pin badges as well. So those are the new items that are available on the merchandise store. All right, patch notes. So, you know, these patch notes, I think, are pretty wholesome this week. There's not too many of them, but let's move through them. So first up, the Hide Cogs from the Augmented Armor setting will no longer hide the spikes on spiked augmented masterwork armor.
Oopsie.
You know anyone who spiked their trim masterwork?
I don't. But I thought about it, but I'm like, wait a minute. I'm usually always wearing a cosmetic override anyway, so I foregone the expense.
Rerolling Mazgab raid loot will now show the correct reward.
Probably a good thing.
Yeah. Now here's a good one for combat in general. A flanking icon has been added to the monster bar. So the monster bar is the bar that you see when you're above your combat critter that you're killing, and it will appear if you're in the right spot to use your flanking perk, and if you have a weapon with the flanking perk on.
Do we know what the flanking perk is?
Yes, we do. Actually, it's something I think that I like to do things my own way, and I don't normally, when it comes to doing combat stuff, I'll just do my own research on this. But from what I've read thus far on the flanking perk, it seems like that is one that you would probably want to bring in for your weapon gizmos. So it ticks off on the backhand, forceful backhand impact, deep impact, binding shot, and tight bindings ability. And if you have rank 3 when it's used, so for a basic ability, you're going to get a 220% damage boost. Or if you use it for a threshold, a 290% damage boost. The official description being that backhand impact and binding shot no longer stun and deal 40% more damage per rank to targets that are not facing you. Forceful backhand, deep impact, and tight bindings deal 15% more damage per rank. So I think that's going to be a pretty good one to get. I don't know what the usage of it is in PVM, and I don't know if you'd want to necessarily invest in something like this for Slayer, because I think if everybody's doing Slayer, and this seems to be the way it was done, is that you would just, you know, take your scythe and, you know, go cut through them, right?
Well, yeah, I think this would take up the place that you'd want something else on a set of Slayer gear you had perked out for, you know, Slayer.
Yeah.
Essentially.
And, you know, also, I think looking at this, the question is going to be how do you make sure you're in a flanking spot, right?
Yeah.
And you know, it's easier to do that for big monsters. So, I've been thinking of getting more into combat, but we'll see. We'll see.
Watch out! Here comes Shang.
Yeah. It's no longer possible to build player-owned house rooms outside of the maximum range of the house.
I would have liked to. I wish I'd known that. I would have kept building.
You can now fish at Mortmire Swamp without bait if you have the baitless fishing perk active. It's now possible to add barbarian fish to your player-owned farm troughs, the raw fish, of course, for your dragons. Dragons eat meat and fish.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's probably dirt cheap.
I don't know, because it is kind of tedious to do barbarian fishing. My best bet for feeding my dragons is just go, you know, pick up a stack of 1,000 tuna and split it three ways between all of the pens and call it a day. Because, you know, you can get tuna really cheap. It's either tuna, salmon,
yeah,
or trout,
whichever's
the cheapest.
Yeah, I do. I usually do tuna, too. But I don't know. Barbarian might be just dirt cheap. You just walk around while people are doing the barbarian shuffle there, the 1, 2, 3 dropping fish.
That might be an interesting money-making method for someone who's up and coming.
Could be. Yeah.
Signs of the Porter and Grace of the Elves will now successfully send farming produce to your bank when your inventory is full.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know why this would be the case, because I don't use the Sign of the Porter or Grace of the Elves when I'm farming, because, you know, there's a good chance that my farming cape will convert it to note. And with that, any other stuff that you pull out of the patch, you can just click it on the leprechaun and convert it to note right there. So farming items aren't an issue for me, but I guess there's some people who prefer to just use the signs for that.
Yeah, I always used to. Used a porter for that.
Okay. When you place items onto the action bar, they will now refresh correctly. This is what we talked about in the patch notes previously. Now, this one wasn't mentioned in the news post, but this one is perhaps one of the biggest patch notes this week. So, you know, in the game settings, you can have a hotkey for your prayer activation for activating auto retaliate and the quick action for the summoning orb, right? Like, you could keybind that.
Oh, yeah, I had a prayer keybind like that.
Yeah, or you can drag the summoning icon to the action bar, but previously, the keybinded follower action didn't really do anything with the summoning keybind. So, when you use the keybinded following action or the summoning action, as it's called in the keybinds section of the controls, it will now call the function of your selected left-click option. So what this means is that if you're running with a beast of burden, that can be to take from your beast of burden. You have specific ones for your legendary pets, you can do that. Or if you just have a standard pet out, it will summon the pet. And this is all through that keybind that's now available in the game settings.
Yeah, that's actually pretty nice.
And you know why this is big?
I forgot that they're not the same thing. I completely forgot about
that. This is big because you no longer need to drag that summoning icon to the action bar and waste an action bar slot on this.
Yeah, that's
huge. You can just have it key bound to a specific button that you press. Mm-hmm. So, big one. Big one. Here's another big one. The inspect option on herb patches now tells you what type of seed was planted there.
I sound like that. If you forget, you know, I mean, I know a master farmer like Shane would never forget what crops he had in the ground, but I might forget for a week or so and I'll be like, oh yeah, I need to go pick up, do a farm run. Like, what did I have again? I don't remember.
I didn't have time to do more testing on this, but when I was actually looking at this yesterday, I noticed that it was saying my crops were protected by my herb protector, even though I had no herb protector active. So I'm going to look into that and send a bug report if it's still saying that. So POH storage units in the costume room will now display a gold border on sets that you are holding the required items to deposit into. So this is good because, you know, let's just say you have your lumberjack outfit in your bank. It'll now show gold around it and you can easily click deposit and away you go. Menaphos and Sophonim have been added – or sorry, their undergrounds have been added onto the world map. And finally, barbarian assault abilities such as Shout Crackers are no longer affected by the global cooldown. And that's the patch notes for this week.
That's it. That's all she wrote.
Yeah, and I mean, not too many in there. I think my favorite one is perhaps the summoning keybind.
Yeah. Like I said, I forgot that that's not even how it worked, but that is cool. Because I always had mine, my keybind, take from the familiar.
Take from beast of burden.
Yeah, take from beast of burden. But like, if you had a Titan out though, and you're wanting to use it special or whatever, like you said, that was another spot.
Right.
I couldn't just hit that keybind. So this is that's cool.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty good. All right, so, you know, we start with the patch notes, we start slow, and moving on to this, we wind up with this surprising post to me that the Majorador is coming back to game on July 29th, available and obtainable by all players, including Iron Man.
Yay.
Yay, indeed. Of course, of course, as they say, the devil is in the details. It will be available for 1,000 Reaper points or 3 bonds.
Yeah.
And
so it's about a 20, I mean, 20, what, 20 some dollar aura?
Yeah, 15. Yeah. 15, or if you want to, you know, go in game. Yeah, about 65 mil. It is best in slot.
You can do Reaper points.
Yeah. It is best in slot for combat.
Yeah.
And I think the concern for this was that it was being made a microtransaction option with bonds.
OFC, you're getting a Majorator, or you don't think there's going to be a way to pay for it? Are you being serious right now?
That was the number one concern on the site that shall not be named.
Are those people being serious right now? Like, we do live in the real world, right? Like, seriously?
I mean, I assume they wanted it for loyalty points.
Maybe we could talk about having other methods in-game, but I think it is... It's ridiculous to think that there wasn't going to be a pay option, or that there even shouldn't be a pay option, right? I mean, why shouldn't there be? I've yet to hear a good case of why why shouldn't Jagex make money off of it, like, if that's what people want to do?
And we need to remember that this was a Premier Club Orin initially.
Right. Look, if I had a criticism, it would be that I think it should be Reaper points because it's a best in class slot in combat. Okay. I'll give you that. I think you should be able to buy it because, yes, you know, you should have a choice between grinding or making it a little bit quicker for money, real money or GP. You know, it's pretty open there. But I also would have liked it to been craftable through invention because it does have a divination element to the aura.
And oh, now that's interesting.
I think that would have been
you'd have to have some component of it drop through PVM, though.
I mean, I guess, but I mean that would be my that's my only like suggestion or I mean it doesn't matter, it's not a suggestion, that was it is what it is, but I mean that's the only thing that I would personally like to have different, but I don't understand being upset that you don't have to. They're not saying that's the only way you can get it. And
I think it's very, very accommodating that it's available through bonds.
Yeah, like, look, one thing I know about the PVM community is if they're good enough to worry about this, they've got 65 mil. Like, they wouldn't notice it. It'd be like a tissue. Nothing. One hour Talos.
Yeah.
Go do that.
And, you know,
like, it's nothing.
It's a 5% damage boost. It was 50% during the Premier Club period of 15 to 16.
Yeah.
It's a 5% damage boost.
You know
boost.
What? I hope they make a ton of money off of it.
In
I
my
hope
opinion,
they do,
this is really overpriced for 5%.
Well, if I were to buy bonds, yeah, dude, I would never, like, it's $6. Yeah, okay, so like $18, whatever. That's way too much for an ore in my book. GP, that's not too much GP at all.
No, it's
yeah, exactly.
Like even I, who is not someone who has the best money making methods, I could scrounge that up in a week and a half.
Exactly. And you know what all that is just makes everything even that much better for the bond market. You know, got to keep that bond market healthy. I hope they do really well because I would love to get other auras that would be more useful to me from past Premier that I can't get because I don't do Premier. I know I think on the stream even they had mentioned they could be bringing in a Dwarven Instinct if this goes well. And I'm going, well, I hope it goes well because I'd love to have that aura.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't see the harm in it. That's what I don't understand. I don't see the harm in it. I don't see how anyone is getting screwed.
Could you imagine this as a different monetization stream in that there are different effects you could buy for your character that you'd be able to use daily, but it would be permanent. And you could buy them either with real money, bonds, or with in-game GP.
That might be the concern. Maybe we just stumbled onto what the concern for that side is.
Maybe, but if that's the case, it's not being articulated.
Well, right.
Which, of course, but, I mean, makes sense.
That actually makes perfect sense, yeah. I personally don't think that would necessarily be bad, but if there is concern, it's probably concern on it being a slippery slope because if we're doing that with an aura, then, you know, sometime down the road, is it going to be a weapon or, you know what I mean? Some, you know, armor, what have you.
And I think if it was, you know, a tier 90 premium weapon that you could only get through Premier Club or through bonds or GP in this case, I think then that would be a time to be concerned.
Yeah, I do too. I think at the end of the day, I think we're better off to take each thing case by case as it comes. And because not not everything is equal. You know, I don't think an Aura isn't a T90 weapon, and vice versa. So we're all grown ups. So I think we're capable of being able to decide each time what we want to do with it, you know.
And, you know, there's always got to be a controversy. And I think the problem with that website is that it amplifies controversy. Because if they didn't make this available for bonds, the controversy would have been
that this
is available only for PVM points, right?
Yeah.
And even then, it's not only available for PVM points. There's this thing called the Traveling Merchant at Deep Sea Fishing that has Reaper points for sale from time to time.
Yeah, you can do that too. I mean, there's a lot of ways to do it. I mean, but that's what I'm saying. Like, anybody that is really into that has to have best in slot Aura, even they've got 65 mil, or they could do 1 hour bossing. Okay, so you don't want to get a thousand Reaper points. That probably takes a long time, but you could do an hour, even 2 hours. So tell us, you're done. It's over. Yeah. Go get your bonds.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't think this is an issue. I think it's a great decision to bring this into game like this, especially first and foremost for the Reaper points, but secondly for the bonds. Bonds are a tool to be used, and I think that looking back on them, I think that was the turning point for dealing with gold selling in the game.
Yep.
And the second one was, of course, the major engine changes that were made to deal with the script injection bots. So those two things completely saved the game. And, you know, I don't think we should be raining our parade down on these. Granted, yes, we will be keeping our eyes open to make sure that, you know, there's no tier 90 weapons being available for 2 or 3 bonds, right? But, you know, the Aura that was initially available as a reward, token reward, because this one, that let's be real. You didn't buy the 2015-16 Premier Club to get the Maserat Aura. You bought it because you wanted a package membership deal for a year. Or some of the other things that maybe came with it. So, I don't think there's much else to say on this.
No, the people that are unhappy about this were probably unhappy about bonds even being a thing. Yeah. You know, they're unhappy about any microtransaction. But I think, like I said, you do it case by case. In this case, it's good.
All right. Moving on from that then, we did have a new preview video here for the Land Out of Time detailing Slayer and the Agility course. I'll just play a bit of this video here. You guys can hear it. You'll note they're continuing with the jungle theme, right? So, they're packing up, heading out to the jungle. And we're going to learn a bit about it as we move onwards with this. And they're waiting for the truck to deliver them to the Land Out of Time. So, Agility and Slayer. We knew that we were getting Hunter with this, but we're also getting Slayer and Agility now. Let's go through this piece by piece. So, starting off, Slayer. What do you think of the Slayer changes that were announced with this?
You know, I think it's cool. I wasn't really expecting Slayer. We're going to get 8 new Slayer creatures, and they're going to range from level 90 to 114. They're supposed to be more of a natural kind of feel to some of these, so they're going to be like a combination of – some will be plant-like static Slayer creatures, and some will be dinosaurs, I guess. Yeah.
And so, I think that's an important thing because – remember going back when Slayer first came out, you had weird things like jellies and the basilisk and the rock creatures in the Lumbridge dungeon. But ever since then, Slayer has just always been NPCs that you would kill. There hasn't been much that was effectively breaking the mold on them. So it's nice to see them going back to this for Slayer, I think.
Well, and they've talked about going back to that more in the future. There aren't any like Slayer creatures that require a certain type of weapon or a certain, you know, a certain thing like it did back in the day where you'd have to use a leaf bladed spear for certain, what are they called? Taroths or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so it's not quite to that level yet, although they are talking about going back to it. But something that I think is really cool and definitely taking us down this path to feeling like we are Slayer Masters is a new Slayer task. And
you mean new Slayer Master?
No, there's a new kind of task as well.
Okay. All right.
Now look, with the accent,
right.
I think the word was questers. I could be wrong on that word, man, because I listened to it like 3 times, and that was my best take, was there was a new task called questers. But essentially what it was say you get you're going to get like a dragon's task. You can go pick what dragon you want to do. Go do whatever. So it's going to be like more general, broader, like categories of creatures.
Yeah, that was the second thing that stuck out from this is that when you would, you know, go to one of the lower level Slayer Masters when Slayer first came out and you were leveling up, say, Vanaka or something, he would tell you to go kill dragons. Or if you get told to kill blue dragons, you'd kill either the big ones or the baby blue dragons, right? Or giants, you'd get to choose what kind of giant it was.
Was it like that back then? Gosh,
yeah.
I didn't even remember
being open
like that back then.
You can get blue dragons, and it's still this way. You can go kill any blue dragon that you want.
Right, okay, but it was always like some kind of dragon, right? Like a red dragon, or
right,
a
right.
blue, right? Okay, yeah.
The one that they did at the low level that was truly unique like that was the giants, where you could go kill any giant you want. Hill giant, fire giant, moss giant.
Okay.
And it's nice to see this at a higher level, because this is what, in my view, Slayer was going to be and should be. It's offering the players a choice as to how they kill them, and not necessarily only focusing in on one specific creature like the Mithril or the Rune Dragon. So I think that's going to be pretty, pretty good on that front. And this Slayer.
You know, I'm glad you brought this up, though, just because earlier when I was thinking about this, I was trying to decide, like, is this like, okay, I like it, but I was like, is this against what the idea of Slayer used to be? And is this going outside what Slayer mechanics are?
I think we're being 100% traditional with this.
Yeah, that's kind of where I came down on it, but I didn't really recognize that at first because I knew I liked it, but I'm like, you know, I'm trying to be analytical and I'm trying to be critical, but I just wasn't seeing anything that wasn't in the same vein of what we've done before.
Yeah, and you know, there's also the new Slayer creatures are going to be ranked 90 to 114, so there's going to be taking advantage of that 99 plus Slayer category, and you know, we are heading down that path where, you know, when Slayer went to 120, we were promised to be different training mechanics, but here we're just seeing it as an expansion to add more monsters to it. I don't know if that goes for or against the initial design of 99 to 120 Slayer.
Yeah, I like the range, and I especially like, because they mentioned this on the stream about why it was this range, was to leave some room, that there was room in this level range, and they wanted to leave more for more content in the future. That makes sense to me, and I'm fine with it.
Yeah. But should stuff that comes north of 99 Slayer creatures north of 99, should they have different mechanics? Should they be a different kind of Slayer than less than 99?
I mean, I think we have a mix of that, right?
Yeah, we do.
And
see, this is why I don't want them to do any more skills to 120. Because you're left in this situation where they say it's going to be a completely different training method post 99. But in the end, this is just an expansion, giving more space for more Slayer creatures.
Yeah, I don't see much, you know, other than having, like, other than the more open-ended task, it's, you know, right in the same vein as every other Slayer creature. Now, he did say, Mont Ronan said that they're going to hit like a truck. So,
we know that they are going to hit. Perhaps the point of having them north of 99.
Yeah. I mean, you would think there'd be some kind of, there's going to be something involved because I know that at least some of the plants are static. So there's going to have to be something to that. You know what I mean? And he said they hit real hard.
All right.
So, I mean, that's one reason. But you got to keep in mind, too, this is the same, I think it's the same development. It might be the same team that did the Lost Grove. So there's going to be probably some similarities there. And it's a very similar level range.
Yeah. I'm not sure on that. They did also say there's going to be some surprises when it comes to the drops and whatnot. And mechanics that they're not necessarily going to talk about. They're not going to detail the new creatures until launch, so that's good.
That's a nice surprise. And we're getting a new Slayer Master, too.
Yeah.
So, and this
and this is where you'll be able to get those generalist tasks.
Right, and I think this is going to be, like, the Slayer Master to use now. Like, I think they've surpassed Morvan, finally.
Yeah, and you know, that's good, because it takes the focus off Prif.
Yeah, that's what I thought too, and especially they took his like task list and then got rid of a few of the you know, like the fire giants and stuff like that. Allegedly,
yeah, we gotta wait and see on that until
we gotta see the thing. That was the example that was used. In which case, that would be great because it might actually free up some space on our block list.
And prefer lists. I know. I haven't done Slayer in a long, long time, and my block and prefer lists are still set up for Curadel.
Okay.
So it's been a long time.
Yeah, been a little bit. But it'll be more. I think it was two more Slayer points as well per task. So
that's good.
That's good. Yeah.
Agility course?
Man, is this like a knife in agility? Because we've been hearing about like a potential work in the agility spectrum, right? And it's another agility course.
Yeah.
Which, cool, but like, does this mean that there's just not any other ways to do agility that they've come up with right now?
Yeah, and you know, I think the problem for agility is that it is a very loose support skill, because if you think about it, it just at this point benefits your thieving a bit. It of course benefits how much you can or how quickly your run will recharge and the like. So, you know, I think we need to have a look at this agility course when it arrives and just see what it does for us, see what kind of credit we can give it. And I just have trouble getting excited about agility at this point in time.
See, I am too, and it's going to be really long.
Like 6 minutes to do a run.
6 minute court. Yeah, that is long, man. And
you'll be able to go in reverse, though.
Well, there's that, but I'm wondering how tired of it you're going to get, because I guess it's the primary way to get around the island. So you might get real sick of it real quick. I don't know. And I don't know if it will have that, you know how Heffin, if you get your camera in the right spot, man, Heffin's like, it's a good
couple clicks.
It's a good agility course. Yeah. And so will this be in that same kind of,
probably
in that
not
vein?
If it's going across the entire
island. That's what I'm thinking. Probably not. So, I don't know. There's you might get a prize though, Shane. Might get a prize.
That's the thing. You got to see what's on that prize list and see if it's going to be worth it. So,
well, you could you can, was it pages will change that can change your escape and surge ability
from agility. Mm-hmm. And as we know, we always say that it'd be nice to have some new abilities into game that aren't necessarily locked behind huge end game bosses. So I don't know. I'm going to pass judgment on the agility course when it arrives. I'm just not feeling very, very excited about agility at this point in time. So,
see, I've been thinking a lot about the pages, and I don't know what we should, I don't know what they're calling it. It's not mutated. It's charge surge or charge escape. Like, where in combat is that going to be useful, or is this something that we'll use to kind of get around on those places where we don't actually teleport, you know, like if you're doing summoning runs to Amclod, or, well, actually you wouldn't do that. You would just stand there, but you know what I'm trying to say? Like,
when do you, how do surges?
Yeah. When and where are you going to use it? Yeah.
I don't know. I've never really thought about that because I'm not necessarily a surge player. I don't surge around.
See, and I don't either.
So,
yeah, I never think about it. So
I actually just got the achievement this week when I was recording the Weekly Bite. Did I mean to do that? The one where you surge one tile. I actually just got that.
Cool.
So just to give everybody an idea of how much I don't use that.
Yeah.
Oh, I have an idea. Maybe the new surge abilities are going to factor in with Big Game Hunter.
Oh yeah, with their like get back and that makes sense. That actually makes sense because we saw that proximity meter that they had, and if you were like escape goes backwards, right? So you could pop back out of that range.
Yeah.
Who knows? Might be on something, Shane.
Yeah, we are slowly putting things together. You guys started when I was away, but we're continuing that now. This was actually sent out in an email this week as an exclusive a couple days before the live stream. Other things there are, of course, some new mining sites, a new overgrown idol, and some fishing spots, as well as some traditional hunter sites. Not too much to write home about there, I don't think. I will be interested to see what they have for the new mining sites, I think. See how that factors in with mining.
Yeah, I was wondering what that was going to be too. And I'm also curious to see what the fishing is going to be like. Are we talking, I just want to see what levels these come in at, like, are we going to begin to,
you know,
cut into Prif a little bit?
Would be,
I kind of get a feeling we
is
are
if they, on that vein, as if they could cut into waterfall fishing in some kind of way here. So,
well, and that's kind of what I'm thinking. I'm like, are we talking rocktails? Are we talking sailfish? Are we talking something?
I don't think it'll be rocktail.
I mean, I don't think we're talking,
I don't think
new.
It'll be rocktail or sailfish-esque. I think it'll be because we already have stuff like that in deep sea fishing. So I don't think it'll be fish that you'll want to fish for profit, so to speak. I think it'll be something different.
Okay.
Okay, let's move on to the live stream this week. I didn't take much out of this. So what did you feel on this from the live stream?
It was a lot of basically talking about the big reveal.
Was it a big reveal though?
Maybe.
Okay.
Kind of. It made me want it a little bit.
Yeah, and that's something that we might have to be concerned about if we're getting hyped up about this.
Yeah, because I just said, I don't know if it was last week or week before, but like, be really careful about the hype. Like,
be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, but it's even starting to, you know, I don't know. I was beginning to get me a little bit just wondering, but anyway, so there was more talk about, just more clarification on the new Slayer creatures, the new Slayer Master, how they're, you know, gonna work. how they trimmed, you know, down Morven's task list. And, you know, of course, that's where they talked about the Majra Aura being available. And that.
So it was basically just a recap of the, of our video that we just watched.
I mean, it
covered. Yeah.
It really was. There's no Iron Man restrictions on the island.
Well, that's good.
So and that, you know,
I think we need to have a separate conversation at some point about the state of Iron Man currently.
Maybe that would be a topic for another day.
That might be.
Maybe one to add to
the list, because yeah. I know there's a lot of people who started Iron Man, but it's just like, okay, you're giving us all these benefits. This ain't what I signed up for.
Yeah, I mean, that would be an interesting community to draw from.
Yeah.
Stuff, because I have friends that do Iron Man.
Yeah, so anyways,
that would be cool.
Anyways, back to the stream.
Back to the stream. The last item that I think is worth really mentioning is the Twitch Prime loot. So you can get an Umbral chest, whatever that is. Supposed to have like a rare item or something. So you get that for your having Twitch Prime and having your accounts connected.
Yeah.
Or do you? Because there's a bug where you might not have gotten it. And like you claim it, but you don't get it in your inventory when you go into game. So if that happens, what you need to do is just disconnect and reconnect your accounts. Like, so reconnect your Twitch account with your RuneScape.
For anyone wondering, that Umbral chests give you a guaranteed shot at a super rare Treasure Hunter item. So this includes things like the 200 mil prize, the Bad Weather Umbrella, the huge stack of protein items. What?
I didn't get anything like that.
What'd you get?
I got a lucky eagled eye shield. and an ocean like bow overlay.
Yeah, these lucky items are an insult to people who are max combat. What are we going to do with like tier 75 things we get from Treasure Hunter? I mean, come on.
Well, we send it straight to Diango's storage units and never see it again. I mean, yeah. At least let us break them down for components, man.
No, that might be too powerful, because then you're having a source of where you can just spend money and get components. That would be too powerful.
Okay. I didn't think about that part. I was just thinking about this crap. Yeah, you're right.
I know a guy once who spent this wasn't in regards to skill of the month. This was just in regards to keys in general. $400 one month on Treasure Hunter keys. And this was back when it first came out. So,
who has $400 to spend on treasure?
I don't know.
That's a significant part of my mortgage.
Yeah.
Like what? Who has that kind of money? I wish I could spend $400 on Treasure Hunter. Shit.
Yeah. So that's the case that we're in. But yeah, there wasn't too much else from the live stream. Just confirmation of next week's update that it's the community event. Summary of the video, and they did talk a bit about the Majra Aura, but we've already done that and given you our opinions on that. So I think we can move on, right?
Yeah, I think we've dealt with that.
Alrighty. Well, I do have some good news for everybody, and I know everybody around this podcast loves having good news, because, you know, this podcast is amazing what we do with our community here. I truly am pleased every week I get to read these Patreon supporters out. So this week I'm going to thank our Patreon supporters, and I would like to thank Arvids L, Brock H, Darren L, Diana, Kyle, Logan H, So Juice the Devil, Tom V, and Zez. Thank you all of you for your support on Patreon. It means the world to us. And of course, if you're wondering what we're talking about, just head over to patreon.com/RSBNB, and you can get a rundown of everything that we offer there. So starting for $1 a month, you get a special mention in our show notes and early access to our show notes when we are recording the show or as we're about to finish the show. And you also have the ability to join in on our roundtable discussions, which is happening this weekend at 7 p.m. game time, 3 p.m. Eastern in our Discord. Information, if you're a Patreon supporter, will be posted on the Patreon page this Friday on how to join that. So by the time you guys are hearing this, if you wanted to go up to $3 a month, you get a special VIP rank on Discord, a mention on the podcast at the start of the month, and access to high-quality stereo AAC versions of the show. And for $5 a month, you get a shout-out every week and exclusive access to the outtakes that we use for the clip show at the end of the year, which are just absolutely hilarious at some times. And with this, we're in our third tier here. So first, we got our monthly bit bonus show. These talk about one big hot-button issue regarding the RuneScape community. Last month was AFK Escape, was truly, truly revealing for all of us. So I recommend everybody give that a listen. But we are setting up to record our next one, and we just concluded the vote on that. So I can report that the monthly bit for June will be hype and anticipation, looking at the behind-the-scenes videos, the live streams in the month ahead, posts that Jagex puts out, and we'll have a look and see whether hyping up the community is a good thing, what good it can lead to, and what it can do for bad as well, and what our preferred method would be for delivering future news posts. So that's what we're going to be talking about this month. Yeah, it's timely, isn't it?
I can't wait. Yeah, it's timely, and I have so many examples where my heart has been broken by the hype.
And that's why we're going to be talking about it, because we know there's tons and tons of people out there who feel the same way. We're also doing Inside RSBNB Update, which is an inside look at our hosts and producers team. Last month, we had an interview with Sirion. We'll see what we managed to put together this month for it, but this is your way of seeing a little bit behind the scenes of RSBNB Update. Then, of course, the roundtable happening this Saturday. Yeah, I know it's the third Saturday of the month. We're aiming to do it in the middle of the month next week, but I did have some kind of sore throat issue last weekend, so we didn't do it last weekend. And finally, should we reach $99 a month, we'll be doing movie night in the RSBNB Discord, where you can join us and watch a movie with us, probably some Star Trek involved. So all this and more at patreon.com/RSBNB. And once again, thank you to all our Patreon supporters.
Oh, can we watch the one where Picard becomes like a Borg?
Yeah, that's one of the best episodes of Next Gen.
Sweet.
All right, so we do have a discussion topic this week from the RR Man, so I'll give that a play right now.
Hey, it's the RR Man. How's it going? Personally, I've not been playing much RuneScape recently, a bit down and on all these ups and downs. Let's not get into that. Let's talk about AFKing. What a great Patreon episode that was. Everyone should check it out. But I want to know what you guys are doing while you're AFKing. I'm doing my standard question. What TV shows have you been watching this year? And what TV shows are you looking forward to? Did you guys see the Chernobyl miniseries? Everyone's been talking about it. It's actually number one on IMDb, I think it is, still to this point. I think Shane would really like it. There's lots of, science and politics and that sort of thing, and it's bloody intriguing. And quite close to the true story is what I hear, when it's quite amazing, because usually you hear based on a true story. It's great. Just check it out. Peace out.
All right. I can actually talk a bit about this first. As I'll say, in April, we just finished season two of Star Trek Discovery. So anybody who has CBS All Access in the U.S. or Netflix anywhere else in the world, I would, of course, have to recommend that you give that a watch. Start with season one, leads nicely into season two. But aside from that, of course, for this fall, we are waiting for Star Trek Picard. That we got confirmation that that's what the title is going to be of the new series. Of course, starring the return of Patrick Stewart as Jean-Luc Picard. They're currently through filming four episodes of that series, so they're making very good progress on that. It's going to have a 10-episode first season. But as for what I'm watching right now, I don't really watch too much TV. I have heard about the Chernobyl miniseries. I have heard things that it is really good, but I've also heard things that it's not as entirely accurate as well. And I mean, you know, based on a true story, so I'm not entirely sure where I'll come down on that. Maybe I should give it a watch and see how it reconciles with my version of history. And that's something I always tell people, is that when you're looking at a historical event, it's all painted by your lens of history. And that's why studying history itself, whether if you go to school and you study history, or you maybe even go do a PhD in history, the whole point of it is that you learn that while you're doing that, you study history as though as you're looking at it as it happened. So if you're studying the Civil War era, you don't attempt to apply a 2019 lens to it. You apply what happened during the Civil War. So that's why I think TV series like that with Chernobyl and whatnot are going to be interesting, because everybody's going to have a different perspective on them. So that will be one that I put on my list to check out. But presently at this moment, currently, we've had this one as a pick of the week on the show. I think Derp did it as a pick of the week last year, and that is Designated Survivor. That came back on Netflix this time for season 3. It was previously on NBC. NBC canceled it, but Netflix picked it up. It is a American-based political thriller kind of show starring Kiefer Sutherland of 24. Covers his track as president of the U.S. after the entire cabinet and president is wiped out in a terrorist attack on the U.S. Capitol during State of the Union, and follows him through that up to the point where in season 3 he's just starting to run for re-election as the first independent president of the United States. So if you like following what's happening in the U.S. and you need a bit of a break from the real life, let's say TV show House of Cards kind of thing that's going on in the U.S., definitely check out Designated Survivor. If you also like 24, you should probably watch it as well, because it's just nice seeing Kiefer Sutherland kind of back in that role, and there's been some callbacks to 24 in that series.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, but in addition to that, I also watched The Amazing Race, watching the American version right now, and our Canadian version is due to start in a couple weeks on July 2nd, so that's all I'm watching currently.
You have a Canadian version of
yeah,
that?
Yeah, Amazing Race Canada.
I bet they're like the most polite travelers.
I don't know about that.
Not like crazy Americans just running through the airports. Give it, take it, hold the plane. That is a good show. We used to watch that all
yeah.
the time.
Yeah, it's still good. They were just in the Netherlands on this week's episode, and previous to that in Croatia.
Okay. I don't know how married people do go on that show. I don't know.
You need to be focused on the job, I think.
I don't think we would last 3 days. Going home.
But yeah, definite recommendations towards Designated Survivor and Star Trek Discovery. So, how about you?
Okay. Honestly, I read more than I watch. Well, I listen to audiobooks more than I watch TV, probably. But the shows that I have been watching, and I listen to a lot of like comedy specials on Netflix. So I'll just like turn them on, but I'll just be listening and AFK and on Netscape that way. And then, of course, I still, you know, I watch my wrestling here and there. I've been trying to watch like all of the WrestleManias. I don't know why. Maybe because we never did the pay-per-view thing when I was a kid. So now I can just watch one. So I try to like watch them every week. And then, what was the other thing I've been? Big Brother is getting ready to start. So I'm looking forward to Big Brother and the Picard series too. Okay. So I'm looking forward to those too.
We always
watch Big Brother.
I can't stand Big Brother just because, I mean, all the people on there seem...
they're awful.
Yeah, yeah.
Most of them are absolutely
It's just so friggin' annoying, you know?
Yeah,
Actually something about this Amazing Race season is that it was a combo where the teams were either from The Amazing Race previously, Big Brother previously, or Survivor previously.
Oh, okay, that's cool. See, I used to be a hardcore Survivor fan. I mean, I watched it since the time it started, and I only quit like a couple years ago because I just got more into Big Brother, really. Because I like to see the just these social dynamics. Like, if you want to see like how people actually are in the real world, watch Big Brother.
Yeah, you know, one thing I've always wanted
to screw you
is I've always wanted to see Big Brother done on a larger scale. Not with like 20 people or however many there are, but more like 100, 200.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
in a small town, not necessarily a house.
You know, now that you say that, it kind of sounds like a small town. Pretty much just described a small town.
Interesting.
Only you get to vote someone out.
Yeah.
Woo! Everyone just tribe up. I mean, that's how
that's the way these reality shows work, too. But with the race, you're, of course, needing to perform tasks and whatnot, so you can't necessarily be voted out on strategy. And that's actually something that we saw with this season. For anybody watching, I'm going to spoil this season so far. Out of all the teams that are left, the only teams that are left, there's three Amazing Race teams and one Big Brother team left. All the other Big Brother and Survivor teams have been knocked out quite quickly.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. See, I've always wanted to see Big Brother contestants have to play Survivor. Because wouldn't that be funny? I mean, they literally just chilled in the house and ate free food and drank and partied for 3 months. Like, how would they like sleeping on the ground? Like, you know, I think that might make them even crankier. I don't know.
Yeah, and you know, I think the race is probably the hardest out of the three.
Oh, without a doubt, I think
because you're going for 21 days.
You're traveling though. Yeah, man. Traveling is so hard and stressful.
Yeah, yeah. As I know. All right. Anything else from this question? I think that one quite covers it. I don't know if there's any other shows to throw in.
No. I think maybe sometime in July we'll have the America's Got Talent. We'll be back, and I usually
that one's already
usually
back.
Watch that one.
And my family watches
is it already
one.
Back?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't see that's so. That's how much TV I watch, right?
Yeah.
I used to watch that show.
There's so much crap on TV these days.
Yeah, well, and when you cut the cable cord, you know, I'm just not mindlessly flipping the channel, so I don't even know what's on anymore, you know, because we got rid of cable years ago now.
Yeah. There's a show I used to watch that I miss it, and it was on nightly. And I'll leave it at that, and I'll let the listeners use their brain to figure out what it is. You might know what it was.
But maybe.
Anyways, let's move on to tech news, shall we?
Yeah, tech news. We got stuff going on in the world of tech this week.
Yes, we do. Facebook announced its Libra cryptocurrency.
Can I get paid in Libra, Shane?
Yes, you could.
You know what this is, right?
What do you mean?
This is Twitch bits for Facebook streamers. Yeah.
So, except there's one difference on this. It's not run entirely by Facebook. It's going to be run by a consortium, and anybody can join this consortium. And it's going to be based in Switzerland, which, of course, they chose because Switzerland is known for its privacy and its banking institutions, which makes sense, right?
Of course.
Now,
but that actually makes it kind of like the anti-crypto, wouldn't it?
Yes.
It's being backed by.
Yes, and that's the next thing. Here is who it is currently backed by. 28 founding members include, and I'm not going to name all of them, but I'm going to just name some of the big ones. MasterCard, PayPal, Stripe, Visa, eBay, Facebook, Lyft, Spotify, Uber, Vodafone, Coinbase, that's a Bitcoin-type company. Andreessen Horowitz, which is a venture capitalist firm. Union Square Ventures, and then some nonprofits and academics, including Creative Destruction Lab, Kiva, Mercy Corps, and Women's World Banking. So every one of these founding members will get one vote on the shares, determining how this cryptocurrency goes forward with this. And the reason they're creating this cryptocurrency is because they want and it starts with Facebook. They want to disrupt banking in the developing world, where you can't necessarily, you know, get bank accounts or credit cards easily. And the idea behind this is to create a cryptocurrency that is going to be stable enough. It's going to be indexed to the dollars that are invested into it, so that it's not going to have wild swings like Bitcoin did. And that's what their hope is that maybe we can finally create a cryptocurrency that isn't going to swing so wildly that people will feel comfortable using it as actual currency and not as an investment token.
Well, it shouldn't. It wasn't supposed to be an investment token anyway.
Exactly.
But I'm just worried on so many levels. I mean, one, you can't trust Facebook with anything.
Yeah. Like, at all. You know, I just want to talk a bit about how it works first, but we need to get into why Facebook is doing this and what the media is missing on the coverage of this, because I saw coverage on Libra and Calibra, the Facebook wallet of it, on my national newscast here in Canada. And they missed why Facebook is doing this, and perhaps the most nefarious purpose, even though Facebook is branding it as non-nefarious. But first, I just want to give a bit of a rundown on how it works. They want it to be as simple as cash. Is you have cash in a local currency and you can get Libra. Spend them like dollars anywhere without transaction fees or your real name attached, and you can cash them out whenever you want. That's what they want with this. And what they're going to be doing with this is effectively creating a new cryptocurrency that, rather than having cryptocurrency floating around, whenever a new Libra coin is needed, the people who are the 100 founding members on this are going to have enough CPU power to effectively mint a new crypto coin and make sure you get what they're calling a stable coin, i.e. one Libra, a Libra being, of course, the unit of this cryptocurrency. And and we've talked about this before. Remember last year when one Bitcoin was worth around $17,000? That's what they want to avoid. And they say they're doing this by tying the value of Libra to a basket of bank deposits and short-term government securities for a slew of historically stable currencies, including the dollar, pound, euro, Swiss franc, and yen. So it's going to be tied to this huge basket of real world money, and that's how they hope that it will maintain its value.
Yeah, which it's that's not even crypto in my opinion. But what I'm worried about is, like, I don't know, is it going to be a good or bad for these developing countries where the currency, you know, you might have to bring a wheelbarrow of Zimbabwe dollars to buy a Coke or something. You know what I mean? Like, I know there are places like that where this could either further destabilize an already bad situation, or does it make it better for the people? I don't know, but there's got to be ramifications for it.
The idea is that, and of course, based on this, it will make it better for the people because it's going to be completely decentralized from the existing banking systems, which, as we know, in countries like Zimbabwe that you mentioned, are horribly corrupt.
Right. Now, here's the problem. We are now going to turn over our democratic power to our corporate overlords. Regulate themselves.
That's the real funny thing about this.
I don't. Mm-hmm.
I just want to talk a little bit more about how they are going to maintain its value. And the idea is that when you cash in a Libra, you're actually going to get your local currency on that. And when this happens, that money goes into the Libra reserve, and an equivalent value of Libra is minted and given out to that person. And that's how they're constantly able to give it out, because with Bitcoins, you have a set amount of Bitcoins and it gets divided and whatnot each time. And that's how we're in the current situation where Bitcoin becomes so expensive.
Wait a minute. This is, how is this, how, what, how are they doing this? Like, you can't just set up shop and mint money. Like,
well, that's why they're going to be tied to these companies, because anybody who is wanting to be
but
on
they
the
can't you can't do that.
But anyone who's wanting
can't
to be
say,
on the
hey,
board,
we're making a Chase coin.
But anyone who like, wants to be on the board with this needs to have either a threshold of $1 billion U.S. market value or $500 million in customer balances, reach 20 million people a year, and be recognized as a top 100 industry leader by a group like Interbrand Global or S&P. And with this, anybody who wants to invest on this from the crypto side must have more than $1 billion in assets under management, and blockchain businesses need to have been in business for a year, have enterprise-grade security and privacy and custody or staking greater than $100 million in assets. So the idea is that you're going to get all these big companies to sign on who have multiple billions of values, and you even need to pay $10 million minimum to receive your investment tokens. The idea is that they're going to be backing this, and it's going to be their money that's going in and is being converted into these coins.
Do you know how much faith Americans have in these big companies?
Not much.
This doesn't sound good.
And
I wouldn't buy any Libra.
And that's why they're being and see, that's the thing, and that's the thing that made it different, is that every time you ask for a new Libra coin, it's minted purely for you if there's none available. And that's why there's all this compute power and whatnot that's needed behind all these companies to make it actually happen.
But when you're tying it to an actual currency like it is, and it's being backed by an actual currency, then how is it not a consortium or whatever of corporations making their own currency?
That's exactly
like,
what
you're
it
not
is.
Supposed to be able,
that's
not,
exactly
you
what
can't
it is.
Do that.
That's exactly but what it is.
But no government should want that.
Oh no!
You should not want this.
Oh no!
There's no way someone's going to stop them.
And see, this was the whole someone's problem. This was the whole problem with moving to a fiat money system, rather than having actual currency tied to the value of some kind of hard commodity back in the day. Now, let's talk about Facebook's side of this, because Facebook's actually not going to make any money on this, or so they say. They're actually going to
Oh, my ass.
they say they're actually going to incur a millions loss on this in running their Calibra wallet.
Well, you know, Facebook never lies, and they always shoot straight.
Yeah. And with this, Mark Zuckerberg basically said this is decentralized, meaning it's run by many different organizations instead of one, making the system fairer overall, and it's available to anyone with an internet connection and has low fees and costs. It's secured by cryptography, which helps keep your money safe, and this is an important part of our vision for a privacy-focused social platform where you can interact with it in all the ways you'd want privately, from messaging to secure payments. And see, this is the gamble for Facebook, is that by building a wallet around Libra, and they're calling their wallet Calibra, they build this into Facebook Messenger, they build this into WhatsApp. Facebook effectively becomes the de facto ATM for this new currency. Other people will be able to set it up, but of course the ones that's going to be available and open to everybody is Facebook. And this is the time at point in which Facebook, I think, transforms itself from a social network to just in general internet company. And, you know, at that point, I think there's a conversation to be had in the U.S. and other jurisdictions around the world about whether or not Facebook needs to be broken up, because there's no reason that a company that runs a social network like Facebook, as is right now, should also be dabbling into banking like this.
But it opens so many – like, think about, like, if you can use Libra on Facebook and you're buying something off Marketplace or whatever, you're going to be able to use Libra probably. And yep. I'm sure there's going to be people advertising.
There is actually a
all
thing.
Kinds of goods and services.
Facebook says
Facebook.
That they're not going to do that.
Really?
Yeah. They said they're not going to use it.
Once again – I don't know who I'd trust more than Facebook. I don't know, man. I really can't believe that it's gotten this far and no one's trying
Visa and MasterCard are on it too, as is PayPal.
Visa and MasterCard. Oh, they buy our guys. But they can't buy your guys, can they?
What do you mean?
Not as easy. Well, I mean, financial places like that. Here. Yeah, but they're not allowed to like buy your politicians, are they? Like they are here?
No.
Okay, so I can see why we haven't stopped it, maybe. But wouldn't you think this is going to be bad for, like, this could be, I don't know, it could be bad for the dollar, right? Like, could it be bad for other currencies?
No.
I don't know. This is so far out of my realm.
I don't even think it's going to, you know, register a ripple until people actually start using this. And until you can, you know, go to a McDonald's and pay with your Libras, it's not going to be a thing. Unless, of course, Facebook has some interface with the bank where they can make that happen, which in that case, I think everybody needs to have a serious look at Facebook once again.
Well, see, and I'm torn because I actually, in certain countries, I could see how it actually would be beneficial. And I don't know if it's just that it's Facebook behind it that really super distrustful of. Or
the thing that gets me is that Facebook is that this is how Facebook ensures its longevity, because if you have a currency out there and you develop a currency and this currency gets into wide circulation, you can't disappear. That's disturbing thing number one. Disturbing thing number two is the group of companies it's backed behind, like you said. And that, I had the same thought as you, is that people are turning this over to effectively creating a new form of government in terms of these 28 large companies.
Yeah, I don't see how it's not. I mean, I don't know. It seems like it'd be some kind of counterfeiting to me, but
you can't counterfeit this.
Well, I know, but they're, I don't know.
Because it's run over secure cryptology and whatnot on the blockchain, and with blockchain transactions, you can't edit those.
It's blowing my mind, because the people that first developed like crypto and the whole blockchain technology, right, was so that it would be decentralized, so that governments wouldn't.
And now someone is trying to decentralize cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
And you know what the funny part is that back when Bitcoin came out, I was having a conversation with someone. I forget exactly who it is. I said that if anybody ever wants Bitcoin or something like it to succeed, it needs to be backed by a major nation state or a group of nation states. And this is pretty similar to that.
But how scary is that? It's similar to that because there are 28 major companies with as much money as some nation states. And that might be something people need to start thinking about.
Yeah, I completely agree.
But on the bright side, hey, at least Facebook says they're not going to do anything bad.
That's what they say. That's what they say.
Yeah, they give them access to your money.
And as I said, it ensures Facebook's longevity, hence why this is the best idea Facebook's ever come up with.
Oh, you know how many Russian friend requests you're going to get now? Daddy. And they're all going to have that one lonely mutual friend. You know, you're like, oh, dude, come on. You knew this was real. Yeah.
All right, let's move on to our next one. EA was interviewed by the UK Parliament in committee, and they effectively told them that loot boxes are quite ethical and fun, and they're just surprise mechanics like Kinder Surprise eggs.
They weren't lying. They're fun from their perspective. Lots of fun. Of course it was EA too, man. They're just like, yeah, we're Darth Vader. We don't care. That's who we are. We're pure evil incarnate.
Yeah, and you know, they said that we think of it like many other products that people enjoy in a healthy way and like the element of surprise. And they're quite ethical and quite fun and quite enjoyable to many people.
Surprise, we took your money. You didn't get anything for it either.
And, you know, I think this makes sense because EA has been on the side of some of the biggest snafus in terms of loot boxes and whatnot before. I think it was with Call of Duty, or was it the Star Wars game? I don't know.
No, it was Battlefront 2.
Battlefront 2.
Really, really started the revolt. But even before then, they've always been really bad with it in their FIFA games.
Right. And, yeah. And you know why they do that? Because people who play FIFA are diehard soccer fans, and I don't think you get any more diehard sports fans unless you're in Canada and you're dealing with hockey than you do with crazy soccer fans.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. I don't think our football fans probably hold a candle to the international soccer crowd.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that this underscores once again, the gulf that appears between the corporate people at the video game companies versus the government versus just us gamers here on this end, and that, you know, hey, we view the microtransactions in RuneScape at a safe level, I think. I think that's a good way of putting it, that the microtransactions in RS aren't too far off the top compared to what we've seen some companies like EA and, you know, even more gaming do with World of Tanks and whatnot. So there is a middle ground to reach on that triangle, but, you know, you kind of do throw goodwill away when you say, oh, yeah, they're just like Kinder Eggs. They're quite fun, and people enjoy the mechanics, and they're quite ethical.
Yeah, if Kinder Eggs were $20 a pop,
yeah,
and you knew you were getting a, like, paper hat in it.
Yeah.
Or yeah, whatever it's in a Kinder Egg, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, Kinder Eggs are actually banned in the U.S. because of the chocolate and the fact that there's something inside the piece of chocolate.
Well, yeah, we're morons. Kids probably choked on it. We're not known for our restraint when
whereas
it comes
Kinder
to
Kinder Eggs
food,
in
Shane.
The rest of the world are one of the most popular Easter things you can get, so.
Yeah, no.
But, of course, this comes on the heels of countries like Belgium and the Netherlands pushing forward to take action to limit certain loot boxes, so much so that EA has stopped selling FIFA currency in some of its games. And even in the U.S., that Missouri senator talking about doing a study on loot boxes as well. So I figured we should just have a note here and note that EA has been talking to the U.K. on this, and this is how they see it.
Okay. Well, fun for the whole family.
That's right. So final piece of tech news. Google is rolling out something called RCS, and this really doesn't affect us because we're not Android users and we're not living in the UK and France. So let's actually talk about this. And, you know, the reason this is an important thing is because if you're chatting with someone on Android, you have choices of using one of Google's messaging services. You could use WhatsApp. You could use Facebook Messenger. But, of course, you have the basic SMS texting, right? As in, when you SMS text someone on an iPhone, you get a little green blob showing this was sent over SMS. But the iOS crowd has iMessage for messaging between iOS users. And what RCS does is it aims to provide a more iMessage-like experience for Android users. And this is important because, you know, when you look at this, SMS is old. SMS came out in the 80s. And you want features that include, you know, maybe read receipts or attachments, including video or audio or indicators that know when you're typing, right? So Google actually wants this to go forward as a more advanced format of SMS. It's important to note that unlike iMessage or WhatsApp, RCS will not have end-to-end encryption from just the way that it is set up. But with that, you know, you have numerous layers when you're dealing with Android smartphones. You have the handset manufacturer, you have the carrier, and in some cases you have Samsung as well shipping their own versions of the Android software. Or if you buy a Google phone, you get peer vanilla Android. So the experiences are different for everybody, but Google wants to actually make a unified texting experience so that everybody who is on Android can get these advanced features that we have just become accustomed to over time in iMessage or WhatsApp or Messenger. So what Google is going to be doing later this month, Android users in the UK and France will be able to opt in to RCS chat services that are going to be provided by Google. And of course, the reason for this is because, as we talked about, if you have an Android phone from Samsung or LG or, heaven forbid, Huawei, you're going to be at the mercy of that carrier to update it and provide you the new, better RCS texting experience. But Google does have the ability to push these things forward and make this happen with RCS. So with this, you know, I think the end hope is that when you look at this, is that Google sees what happens on the SMS side, and they say that, you know, they believe that communication, especially messaging, is highly personal and users have a right to privacy, and they want to find a solution for this without, that is, the fact that RCS doesn't have encryption. So they want a solution for that, but they need to get this rolling out first so that effectively they can get their foot in the door with this. And this is, you know, just another reason, I think, where the Android ecosystem is growing up. And Google is starting to realize that, you know, you need to have kind of an overarching viewpoint of what's happening with the platform, whereas iOS is, you know, completely controlled and run by Apple. Google is putting its foot down where it matters. And this is this case with RCS chat. So it'd be interesting to see this roll out to the rest of the world. And it's interesting they chose also the UK and France for this first. So, and, you know, I think we're kind of spoiled with this with iMessage on iOS.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even know what SMS was, really. I mean, I know when I get an iMessage, it says that, but,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure a lot of people would know much of a difference.
And, I mean, how many people do you talk to where you get text messages on your iPhone that they're green? Not many, right?
There's green messages on the iPhone?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Well, didn't know that.
Oh, that might be something to do with the way the accessibility is set up for you then.
Or just my eyes in general. I'm colorblind between green and blue.
Oh, okay, that might
stuff
be
like that. So yeah, I don't even see green.
Yeah, and you know, I think when it comes to RCS, it's something that is going to advance SMS, and Google needs to make sure that their users on Android are getting that experience, because not everyone wants to use Messenger or WhatsApp, right? So
yeah,
it's a good choice for Google, and I think this is just signaling the maturity of Android going forward. Alrighty, so moving on to other things as we wrap this show up, we do have our Skill of the Month update for this month, our Divination Skill of the Month. Not too much action in this one, a week long. We currently have PK Mage 0022 with 6.9 million XP gained, and then Legion 1943 with 543,000. Then some other people signed up, including you, Tanis, who have not got any XP yet.
No, I was terrible, because I was thinking when I signed up, I'm like, oh, I'll go make some money, you know, collecting energy and all that, and we'll be in the competition, that'll be fun. And then I realized, oh wait, you'll get an experience when you're when you're collecting energy. So, so yeah, I haven't done much divination or any, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think we can move on to our achievements of the week. We got five of them this week. So starting off on May 20th, we have Dr. Rowe with 99 Constitution. Twisted Soul, spelt very nicely, with 99 Strength on May 19th. I like what you've done with the Z there. And Wolfie with 120 Slayer on May 18th. Congratulations on that big one.
Good job. And then we have Questscaping with 99 Engineering on May 17th, and Takis Fuego with 99 Runecrafting on the 17th. Been seeing them about every week, every other week. They're going to be max soon.
Yeah, and as more people max, we have less achievements to get.
I guess that's true. You get the, you still get the big ones, though. You get your
120,
your 200s.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I could never imagine getting a 200 mil. I don't want to do that. No.
Well, it it happens. Like invention, it happened to me.
Yeah, I guess so. Right?
You know, I didn't try.
it just happens. Ramps up because you're doing so much combat.
Yeah.
I'd also just like to take a moment to point everybody to Informer to have a look at David's article covering the weapon diversity beta. It's a great piece talking about what we talked about 2 weeks ago on the show. He took into account the changes that were made last week on it and wrote his current thoughts for it. And this is kind of a work in progress thought. So if you're wanting to see what we talked about 2 weeks ago, this is a good textual summary to read through. So just give that a read at informer.rsbb.com. Okie dokes. Time for pick of the week. So people often ask where I get my news from, right? And we've talked about Google News before. We've talked about Nuzzle before. Nuzzle being the one that, I know you like the name, pulls in from my social media and whatnot. But there is another source I use for tech news. And, you know, I'm long on the record that you get a skewed community when you have Reddit, whether it be for technology or RuneScape. It's going to be skewed one way or the other. If you look at the r/technology subreddit for technology news, you're going to wind up with lots of anti-government stuff, lots of pro-privacy stuff, and you're going to miss news that you might want to get. Like, let's just say you're interested in gaming, or let's say you're actually interested in mobile. You're not going to find any of those stories there unless they deal with the niche that those folks are interested in. So there's actually a different website that you can go to for this. And this one goes all the way back to 2002. Yeah, 2002. And the website is called Slashdot. And they have sections for mobile, open source, science, and of course technology. And they even have an entertainment section. And the idea behind this is you have a team of editors. And this team of editors looks over tons and tons of news sources. And what the editors do is if they see something that they think is going to be popular, they promote it to the main website. And there was some talk that when Reddit and Digg were first coming around that you don't want to use editors because they're limited. They're not necessarily what the people are reading. But we've seen over time that echo chambers develop on websites like Reddit and Digg, and it limits what can be surfaced. So in some ways, I feel that the editor approach is indeed the superior approach in 2019. And that's what Slashdot does. It does it for technology. So that's the pick of the week. It's Slashdot. This is where I get most of our tech news from the show. And here's a new one on here we could have went with. Samsung says that the Galaxy Fold will launch soon as most issues have been resolved with the screen, said the Samsung display executive. So these are the kind of stories that you get on Slashdot, and they're chosen by the editors. And if you actually want to see everything that they're looking at, they do actually have something called the Firehose section where you can see what everybody submits to Slashdot and what the editors are going to be looking at. So all of this is available, of course, on their own website. And if you want, you can submit news to them as well. So it's a fun website to browse, and it's just a good source of news. Slashdot.org with sections for technology and entertainment and open source and science. Technology one is my favorite. So hopefully everybody will go have a read through Slashdot.org. That's the pick of the week.
Cool. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. And, you know, I initially when, you know, Digg was a thing and Reddit copied them, I thought that that was the way to go for news and whatnot. But just seeing how things have evolved over the years, I am of the opinion that this is the better way to go now. And they even have editions. So if you wanted to see what was popular on Tuesday, you can go back to Tuesday and they effectively structure it like, well, a newspaper would be for Tuesday. So it's good in that regard.
Well, that's cool.
All right. What do you got for pick of the week for us? Or sorry, that was my pick of the week. What have you been doing in RS? Got ahead of myself for next week.
Well, it's been a quiet week in RS for me this week. I've been doing a lot of mining. I finally got Junior up to the Animica, so the real fun can begin now. And I've been doing a lot of mining because I've been actually playing Jurassic Park with my daughter, and that's been – it's just fun. It's good to spend time with her and watch her face with the dinosaurs and stuff. So yeah, meanwhile, you know, thanks to this wonderful mining and smithing rework, I could set up here and mine and get my Animica and save up for when I want to get real sweaty on a double XP weekend.
Nice. Elder Rune, I assume.
Yeah. I'm just using one account to just hang out and mine and smith and get those up to the Elder Rune. What's it, fours, fives,
yeah,
something
so,
like that.
So fours, I can do and then yeah. Do it to five and then burial. That's the most.
Yeah, and then do the burial with the main whenever I deem it's the appropriate time to drop that XP.
Nice. Yeah. Anything else on
How
main?
About yourself? I'm still like I could live in my Slayer dungeon essentially. Like I've lived there for months. I go to my farm, I trade out my animals, you know, get my beans, and then go back to the Slayer dungeon and just work on getting herbs and charms.
All right. Yeah. Well, speaking of beans, as I mentioned last week, I did activate the player owned farm. And, you know, there's lots of money in RuneScape, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I am attempting to capitalize on people's desire to complete the breeding log. And what I am aiming to do is I am aiming to set up a breeding farm so that I can sell animals that are going to be in prime condition to breed for royal dragons. And what that means is that, you know, you can do it from the blacks, but people prefer to buy royals for some reason, even though it's the same chance. So what I've done so far is I've got a couple of sets of perfect black dragons. So that's with the three breath traits and the traits that improve the chance of getting a shiny. And the purpose of those, of course, is going to be to eventually sell them. And I think from my initial research, you can get like around 8 mil for one of those pairs of two black dragons like that, which is pretty good, right? Two black dragons with perfect traits, about 8 mil. That's not too bad, right?
No, sign me up.
But
I want a pair.
If you did the same thing and they were royals, you can push that easily up to 20 mil, maybe 25.
And it's the same chance?
Yeah. People just like to buy the royals for some reason.
Huh. Okay.
So I have been focused on breeding, and you know this is the time where you see why they're worth so much is because dragons just take so long to breed. So I've been doing that.
Yeah.
I've also been running the zygomites again because the thing you need most to do this is beans for trait rerollers.
Oh, okay, I got
you. So zygomites are the source of beans, and the dragons, if they come out with the right trait slots, are going to be used for breeding, but if not, they get sold off as adolescents for beans as well. And, you know, I'm actually doing this without claiming the XP or produce on them, because if I did this, and I did this for a good amount of time, I would hit 200 mil farming XP.
Oh, wow.
And I don't want to do that.
I don't want to get to where you can't get any farming XP.
That's right. But aside from that, woodcutting, magics, and have been alternating between the magics and the arc golden bamboo. So
okay.
Progressing forward on that one as well. But beyond that, not too much else to report on RS this week. So I think we can pretty much wrap this show up. Not too much else to say. By the time you guys are hearing this, we'll be doing our roundtable on Saturday. So if you're listening on Friday, you can come listen to the roundtable. Patreon supporters can come in and talk. We'll be doing that at 3 p.m. Eastern. 7 p.m. game time, 8 p.m. UK time Friday, or Saturday, rather.
Can't wait. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. So with that being said, we'll see you guys next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. If you want to join us in-game, friends chat, bits, bytes, you want to subscribe to us on a podcast listener, update.rsbnb.com/subscribe. And, of course, you can follow us on Twitter @RSBNB. So we'll see you next week, everyone. Take care.
See ya.